propaganda props. There were a couple articles in the most recent Epoch Times of January 10 to 16, 2013, that presented an interesting contrast. One was from a left pundit, Danny Schechter, called "The Middle Class Has Been Saved, or Has It? Stealth Crises Unaddressed by Fiscal Cliff Undermine Prosperity." And the second, by Kenneth Weisbrod from the Yale Globalization Center, "Recipe for a Post-Hegemonic U.S. Self-Defeating Antics of U.S. Congress Reflect Declining Status and Global Influence." And I think that the contrast offered by these two articles provides a perfect illustration of the panopticon. The left pundits keep their eyes on the master. The master, on the other hand, not only sees every subject, but is the only one to see the sky, the prize, the goal, i.e. has a vision, a view of the future. So, for instance, we see in this article, "The Middle Class Has Been Saved, or Has It?" the author Danny Schechter quotes Michael Hudson, another left pundit, who is arguing, quote, "There is an unseen but fundamental shift in our economy. Today's economic warfare is not the kind waged a century ago between labor and its industrial employers. Finance has moved to capture the economy at large, industry, mining, public infrastructure via privatization, and now even the educational system. The weapon in this financial warfare is no longer military force. The tactic is to load economies, governments, companies, and families with debt, siphon off their income as debt service, and then foreclose when debtors lack the means to pay. Indebting government gives creditors a lever to pry away land, public infrastructure, and other property in the public domain. Indebting companies enables creditors to seize employee pension savings. And indebting labor means that it no longer is necessary to hire strikebreakers to attack union organizers and strikers," unquote. And then Danny Schechter concludes, quote, "These stealth trends float beneath the surface of media coverage and public political debate and get lost in the miasma of partisan talking points. We don't know what we don't see, and all we do see are posturing politicians whose main goal seems to be always appearing to do something, but usually in the service of the status quo." Now, he's describing left punditry as well, but unconsciously. And also this week, before we go to the article from the Yale Globalization Center, it's quite surreal listening to left pundits and then reading the opinion-shaping propaganda out of the Yale Globalization Center. They are actively trying to shape the future they want by shaping popular opinion, or at least pundit opinion. While the left punditry's ideological activism consists of megaphoning, reporting back what the power brokers say and do. And on yesterday's KPFA, I heard a discussion between two pundits. One said, quote, "If the left does not make clear demands, power will further co-opt the Democratic Party. The issue is whether the Democratic Party will continue to be the party that represents the great mass of the American people." Another pundit said, quote, "We're going to see the U.S. reassert empire all over the world as these wars in Iraq and Afghanistan wind down," unquote. And then the first pundit sort of concurred by saying, quote, "particularly in Africa where China has been on the move," unquote. However, he hopes the U.S. role will be, quote, "as a defender of African sovereignty," unquote. Out of this confusion, to say the least, comes no vision. From power, you get this consistent, internally coherent, driving in the driver's seat policy thrust. From those who speak for us, confusion and narrow self-interest. It's surreal listening to the professional left. It's as if they're all holding their collective breath, waiting to see what power will serve up. The difference between their approach and power's could not be starker.